Gorge Pressoir. Les épaves de vie, mon ami. Regarde, les risques de calme, les séries en calme,
Cowper,
pas de place tout.
Oh, c'est drôle, qu'est-ce que vous faites? Il n'a pas de prix. Il y a un monstre, un monstre. Vous êtes gris, comrade.
Yeah, you can say that again, Buster. You know, it's the one we don't all catch our death at all.
That was an excerpt from News of the World. And now that in our series, a film of worth remembering, which is more than can be said for the next half hour.
However, for the more tolerant listener, here is a sort of radio show which is beyond our cap. Among those taking part are James Flora Eckberg, the male section of the Luton Girls Choir, Miss Beatrice Badlover.
We'll do anything for a laugh.
To continue, Elvis Douglas Hume. And, of course, Mr. Kenneth Hall, the man with such distinct diction because he always prefers talk to mutter. Ladies and gentlemen, Kenneth Hall.
Hello and welcome to Beyond the Ken, the show the BBC put on in a week. Moment. Well, now, let me tell you some of the things that have happened since we last met. On Monday, I engaged a new secretary who was really very experienced. Now all I need is somebody to do the shorthand typing. On Tuesday, I dialed a number on the phone, and a voice at the other end said, "Well, as the number I dialed happened to be the International Metal Welton Granite Wheelbarrow Company, I assumed there was some mistake, so I dialed again, and once more, a voice said, so I got the telephone engineer round. He just reversed a couple of leads, and I dialed the number again, and this time the voice said,
oh, hell.
It's just as well that originally she hadn't said,
Kipper.
Because in reverse, that would have been,
Duff.
All of which goes to show. And by the way, have you ever tried marinated plover's eggs en cocotte with giblet and white wine cream sauce and covered with double Gloucester grated cheese? It's revolting. Which brings us not unnaturally to our Hornorama feature.
Of our time, in which we take a closer look at people and events in the news.
A plan for bigger buses in London was announced this week. Now, will it really help to solve the acute public transport problems in a large city? We've invited a veteran bus driver to the studio. How'd you do, sir?
Very nice of you to ask.
Not at all.
Yeah.
Great job. Now, sir, as a bus driver, now, what sort of a day have you had so far?
Oh, it's been a wonderful run this morning. Yes, I managed to get past about 10 request stops without stopping. Yes, left 30 people stranded at one of them, I did.
You mean deliberately?
Oh, yes. I'm in great form at the moment. Now, all the dodges, you know, the best one is lurking behind the bus in front till you're just approaching the stop, then you pull out and pass quickly. I always catch them on the hop. Never fails.
And what other delightful little tricks are there that we passengers don't know about?
Oh, well, there's my speciality. I do it for the passenger who's just boarded the bus loaded with parcels.
And what's that?
Off with the handbrake, into gear, quick jerk on the accelerator and Bob's your uncle. Yeah, his parcels go upstairs, but he don't. Oh, I laugh. Oh, I nearly go through the traffic light of green.
Now then.
Oh,
What about this business of crawling?
Oh, so you've noticed. Yes, that's another good dodge. You see, if you belted along over the first part of the run, you've got a good excuse to say you're ahead of time, so you just crawl along slowly behind all the other buses.
Yes, but what purpose does that serve?
A twofold purpose. It helps build up big traffic jams, and you've got a lovely busload of frustration. Well, I'd better be getting along now.
Don't tell me you don't want to keep the public waiting.
Oh, no, it's not that, of course. But I have to go now because I left the bus run.
What, you mean outside?
No, it's probably halfway down Regent Street.
A dispute in the steel industry prompts us to spare a thought for another section of our hard-working community, the steel workers.
Hello, Rodney.
Hello, Charles. Oh, isn't it hot in here? Honestly, it's just like a furnace.
It is a furnace.
Well, shut the door, then.
All right, wait a minute. Just want to get my chestnuts out. That better?
No, I'm still boiling.
That's to be expected with the conditions we have to work in.
Well, all I can say is the last vanity.
I say, Roddy, what do you think of my asbestos suit?
Oh, it's divine. Did you say there is sequins on yourself?
Well, I did as best as I could.
You're alone. Oxy acetylene wear. You haven't said a word about my upswept diamond anti-glare goggles.
They are absolutely dolly.
Well, thank you for saying so at last. Yes.
Now, Rodder.
Well, I noticed it when you've got something new on. Trouble is, in that asbestos suit, you're too wrapped up in yourself.
Come now, you're getting worse temper than steel.
Oh, I'm sorry. Take no notice. I'm a bit overwrought. I suppose you've got to get on with the job.
All right, then. I'll hold it and you bash it into shape.
Be careful. It's white with heat. Right, Betty?
Everybody out!
What? He wants to blow the whistle for.
I'm chopped your off.
Yes, but why now?
You know the old saying, Roger.
What?
Strike while the iron is hot.
Oh!
Brings us to our panel of experts who are waiting to discuss this week's searching question. Top of the table, as usual, our horror comic, Hanky Flowers.
Ah, yes. Well, you see, there was this watchmaker, you see, and he died and left 40,000 clocks. And you know what?
What?
They reckon it'll take 20 years to wind up the estate.
Well, never mind. The relatives might get something on tick, mightn't they? Now let's welcome once again Britain's answer to the singing nun, only he hasn't got such clean habits, Ricky Levy.
Hello, now. Thrilled to be at number one in the charts again with a number dedicated to my girlfriend, Gladys.
What's that?
Glad all over.
Next, another old favourite, the lady with a well-used oven, Fanny Haddock.
Hello again, my darling. And to all lovers of Chinese food, may I recommend the best Chinese restaurant I know, Quang Ying Food. The address, 114 Commercial Road, Hong Kong.
Finally, our countryman with the rosy cheeks, Arthur Fallopy.
That's not me. I'm eating an apple. As a matter of fact, I'm very keen on fruit, you know. Last weekend, when no one was looking, I nipped over into Mrs. Forrester's orchard and pinched her Cox's orange picking.
Yes, I'm sure you did. Well, now, that's the team, as usual, and this week's searching question is there a new crisis in the cinema? Now, Hanky Flower, what do you think about this? Cinema crisis.
Oh, yes. I walked up by myself, yes. As soon as the lights go up, I nip down to the girl. Vanilla tub, I used
to
have.
Look, crisis.
Oh, yes. God, I'm a fool. No, I definitely think there is one, you see, a cinema crisis. Yes, I mean, I rang up the manager of my local cinema the other night and said, could you tell me what time the program starts? And he said, well, sir, what time can you get here? Yes, things must be bad. Mind you, it's very difficult to know whether a film's going to be a success or not. You've just got to put it on the circuit and see.
Circuit and see. All right now, Ricky Libby.
Well, I'm a great cinema lover. You've probably seen me in the back row many a time. I think we all agree that the reason a lot of the cinemas is empty these days is because the people ain't there. You can't never tell, can you? I mean, I went to the cinema recently and there wasn't a seat to be had in the old place.
Why was that?
It turned into a bowling alley.
Fanny Haddock, now let's hear from you on this.
Well, of course, it all depends on the quality of the film. The trouble is, my darling, there's so much rubbish about it. I went round to a little cinema the other night to see The Evil-Eyed Sex-Mad Monster. He'd been the manager for some time. And, my darling, he agrees with me, it all depends on the film. You can't beat the good old classic films for an evening out. Last week, Johnny and I found the ideal combination. A meal first, chicken liver and sauerkraut, followed by pork and onion vol-au-vent, followed by walnut and pineapple souffle, followed by a film.
What was it?
Reap the Wild Wind.
What's your view, Arthur?
I think the answer lies in the soil. Good down-to-earth films. Not this airy-fairy, technicolor, whimsy-whamsy. Life in the roar. That's what we want. If they were to bring the cameras down one of our village lanes on a Saturday night, they'd get reality, all right. No, I mean all these films about IE society and champagne corks popping and all that. What's wrong with the story of a simple, innocent country girl? A perfect vehicle for Shirley Ann Field. I mean, get the actresses, get these actresses out of their smart apartments and up into the A-lots. Preferably mine, because I can tell you...
Well, that's all from the panel this week, and now for some first-class musical entertainment. I think the answer lies in the Fraser Hayes Four.
To our drama of the week, and this week it's based on the well-known theme. it's Harry Lyme, together with his English brother, Ashton Under.
The story of Harry Lyme is familiar to most, but ours concerns another character who comes from the Berlin sewers. However, I am digressing.
Very pretty you look, too.
Stand by, then, as we bring you a story that will gripe you from start to finish. A stirring sago.
Saga.
Sago.
Sago's a mess.
So's this.
Ladies and gentlemen, we present the chap who got his call-up papers postponed, or deferred man.
My name is Lemon, Harry Lemon. Private eye, which is why I wear dark glasses. I was in my office one day, clerkly minding my own secretary. Then who should walk in but a tailor's dummy?
You must.
Oh, my. It's my assistant, the one with the glasses stare and the fixed income.
Hmm? Morning, Mr. Lemon. My name is Webfoot Pratt, sir.
Yes, yes, I know that.
Ah, but they don't.
Well, they do now, and they're agog with indifference. Well, now, to work. We can close the file on the mystery of the unlocked luggage.
There.
Yeah, an open and shut case. Now, our next inquiry is to find out... Come in.
Mr. Harry Lemon, I presume?
Well, who do you expect, Dr. Livingston? Well, now, may I have your name?
Why, is it better than yours?
Probably. A name like Lemon's enough to give you the pip.
Well, shall we just say I'm Mr. X?
Why?
Z. Just wasn't thinking.
I wanted to speak to you alone.
Who is this? Oh, it's all right. This is my assistant, Webfoot Brad, sir.
Oh, what a peculiar name. Why is he called Webfoot?
Shall I take my socks off for the gentleman?
Not now, Bradster. Now, Mr. X, what can I do for you?
I believe I'm right in saying that you recently received a mysterious phone call.
True, but then all our phone calls are mysterious.
Why?
We haven't got a phone.
Look, if you receive information about the missing Yellowstone diamond, take no action. I'm warning you.
You know who stole it?
Perhaps.
Was it you?
Perhaps.
I have a hunch.
Well, straighten up or you'll get stuck like it. Mr. Lemon, I'm warning you. I want that diamond, and I'll go to any lengths to get it. I don't mind admitting it. I'm crooked.
Well, straighten up. You'll get stuck like it.
I wish he would. And now I must go, but I hope you know what's good for you.
Oh, yes, I do. Yes, regular meals and occasional scotch and a few other things we won't go into.
Goodbye.
All right, Brad, sir. Put a tail on that man.
Right away, sir.
Lemon. Harry Lemon.
Yes, madam, can I help you?
Please help me. There's a man following me. I think I know what he wants.
Yes, I've got a pretty sure idea.
He's after my jewels. You've got to help me.
Just a minute. Haven't I seen you before?
I'm Gloria Meadows.
The film star?
That's right.
I thought I'd seen you. I never was one for faces, but I recognize your... Yes, of course, yes. Gloria Meadows. Well, now, Miss Meadows, let's begin at the beginning.
Well, first of all... My name isn't really Meadows.
What is it then?
Smud.
Smud?
Gloria Smud.
Nothing like that I did for doing the blood. Then follow me, follow.
Oh, never mind. Please, Mr. Lemon, never mind the hippopotamus song. He is following me.
Who?
I told you, a man.
Well, I didn't think it'd be a hippopotamus. Oh, I don't know, though.
Please listen to me. A few days ago, an admirer gave me a little gold heart on a slender chain. And since then, I've had strange phone calls and anonymous letters. And now, I'm being followed.
A gold heart on a chain, you say? Round your neck?
But of course, nobody can accuse me of wearing my heart on my sleeve.
In the films I've seen, no one could ever accuse you of wearing a sleeve.
Gold
heart on a chain, eh? Lock it?
Yes, of course I did.
There's Sid, then. Oh, thank you. Hmm. Yes, now, Miss Meadows, you obviously don't realize that inside this gold heart is the famous missing Yellowstone diamond.
The Yellowstone diamond. Oh, but surely no. It can't be true. Don't. No, I'm speechless. Speechless, I tell you. It's impossible. Oh, no, no. No. No, I can't believe it. It couldn't possibly be. Why should someone... I'm speechless, do you hear? Speechless. Speechless. Speechless.
Well, now, when you finish being speechless... Do you mind if I get a word in?
Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Lemon. I'm sorry. It's just that I feel so... Oh, what is the word?
Speechless. Mr. Meadows, this man who has been following you, what was he like?
Well, he was short and slight with little beady eyes and a wicked grin.
Charming.
No offense, man.
No, I'm sure. Well, I mean, I expect a bit of a build-up. I knew I was doing it,
dear. Go away, dear. You don't come on for another 10 lines yet.
That time, too. Like you ogging it all the time.
Now then, is there anything else you can tell us about this man?
Let me see. Yes.
Yes, please. He walked with an uneven gait.
Well, I was taking it to the ironmongers, you see.
Go away. Miss Meadows, have you ever seen him before?
Yes, a rehearsal.
No, I mean, no. There was something frightening about him, and all I know is I never want to see him again.
Good morning.
Hey, Miss Meadows, hide behind this curtain.
Hold hands, this is an outfit. Your stick with a hand hold. Hold up your hold with a hand hold. Hold up. A sticker. Oh, he's no good. I still can't get him right.
Well, who are you bursting in here like that and holding a luger in your hand?
Never mind who I am. Up with your hands, Mr. Lemon. Now, here. Who's this other chap?
My assistant. He helps me.
Oh, I see. Sort of lemonade. No. Move, Pete Steele. My gun is leveled at your head.
No, it isn't.
Well, I can't help if you're taller than I am. Now, where is Miss Gloria Meadows? Come on. I know she's here. I can detect exotic perfume.
That's my hair cream.
No, stop messing around.
It must be me. I've got some mothballs in my pocket.
Wait a minute. I've seen you before.
Yes, I'm your assistant, Webb.
No, not you. Him. Now, turn sideways. Yes, your nose rings a bell.
It's only when I've got my hands full.
I've got it.
Yeah?
Weasel Willie, King of the Underworld. He has a terrible record.
I know, it goes, big hands is an upstart. Upstart is like, no. Oh, well, you know, it's that one anyway.
So, you're after the Yellowstone Diamond, but you won't get it.
Won't I? Suppose I was to tie you up, Mr. Lemon, then put you at the bottom of a lift shaft and let the lift descend on you slowly. You know what would happen then?
What?
Lemon squash.
You'll never get away with it.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, this is the 7th series, isn't it? Now, to tie you up, I need a cord. Oh, thank you. Now, you won't trouble me anymore. Now, goodbye, Mr. Lemon. Suck it and see.
Quickly. Let me untie you both.
Good. Undo the cord. That's better. Now, I've got a plan. Is anyone listening?
I very much doubt it.
Well, then, here's what we do. We'll publicize the fact that Miss Meadows will be present at the next big charity ball wearing her exquisite jewelry. Well, do I need to say any more?
Yes, I should be wearing a dress as well.
All right, now here's the plan in more detail. First of all...
The most worthy Mr. Poole and his daughter, Seth. Mr. Humphrey.
Chattermole and his wife, Mr. Nigel Paunceforter and somebody else's wife, Sir Filthy and Lady.
Everyone seems to be here.
No, I'm here as well. Dear Miss Meadows, can I see the Yellowstone diamond?
No, no, you certainly can't.
Oh, go on. It's so pretty. It's got more carrots than a meat stew on British Railway.
You keep away from her, Weasel Willie. We're watching your every move.
He's making me feel uneasy. Why do you have that sardonic look?
I've been eating sardines.
Bradshaw, keep an eye on that crowd over there.
Right, Herbert Lemon.
Oh, goodness me. Oh, it's hot in here.
Here. You can borrow my fan.
Thank you. Thank you. I say, what long, sensitive hands you've got. They belong on a woman.
That can be arranged.
Well, I think I'll just...
Help! Help! I lock it. Somebody's pinching the locket.
Grab him. Don't let him get away.
All right, got you. Keep still. It's no use struggling.
It's me, you fool.
Oh. I beg your pardon, Miss Meadows. I say, could we do that all over again? I rather enjoyed it.
Oh, look, the lights have come on again.
All right, stay exactly where you are, everybody. Now, Weasel Willie, where's the locket?
I haven't got it, honest. I haven't. Go on, search me.
Well, there's something fishy going on here.
It's me. I'm a red herring.
He is, too. There's the man, Mr. Lemon. Quick, grab him.
Got you. Now, wait a minute, Brad, sir, who is this man with a beard, moustache, and dark glasses?
Yeah, it's just a disguise, Mr. Lemon. Take them off. There.
You! The man who came to our office, the mysterious Mr. X.
Yes, that's me. All right, you win. Here's the diamond back. I don't know how you saw through my disguise.
No, neither do I. Brad, sir, can you explain? How did you know this was the man?
It was easy, Mr. Lemon. Turn around, Mr. X. That's better. See? I did what you told me to do.
What was that?
I put a tail on him.
Well, that's all for this week. Next week, a well-known professor will be giving us a talk on ethics and some of the prettier parts of Thutix as well. So until next week at the same time, this is Kenneth Horne saying goodbye for now. Leaving you with this thought from a listener in Stevenage, Hertfordshire. Does only the Queen's head appear on a £5 note so that no one can counterfeit? Cheerio.
You have either been listening to or have just missed Beyond Our Ken, a sort of recorded radio show in which you heard Kenneth Horne, not to mention Kenneth Williams, Hugh Paddick, Betty Marsden, Bill Pertwee, the Fraser Hayes Four, and the BBC Review Orchestra conducted by Malcolm Lockyer. Eric Merriman wrote the script, your announcer was Douglas Smith, and the show was produced by John Simmons.